You are listening to Portobello Talk Radio, the authentic voice of Ladbroke Grove.
Welcome to Our Future Neighbourhood, a series of radio shows and podcasts about how we can all make Nottingdale a greener, cleaner, fairer place to live and work. Nottingdale is one of only two neighbourhoods in London selected as part of the Mayor of London's Future Neighbourhoods 2030 programme to deliver environmental projects and initiatives and co-design a community-led environmental strategy. This series is part of the programme and we're going to be reporting on how the Council and the Mayor are working with residents to transform our ward into a model eco-neighbourhood that's better for people and the planet by 2030. In this episode, we're looking at gardens and improving the green spaces in our ward. Gardening can be great for the environment, supporting biodiversity across the borough and providing calm places to sit or play. But did you know that we're now growing food to eat right here in Nottingdale? And as we discover, gardening is good for people too. In this show, you're going to hear tips to grow your own food, herbs, fruit, vegetables. And that's for everyone, regardless of what space you have. We're going to hear how community gardening initiatives like the Gardening Club and Community Kitchen Gardens are incorporating mindfulness techniques and supporting residents with their mental health and their well-being. I've come down to Lancaster West, where this afternoon a group of volunteers are helping to plant a golden orchard on behalf of the Tree Council of Great Britain. In a moment, you'll hear what our community gardeners, Lisa Wilkinson and Robert Perino, think, and you'll hear from some of those volunteers. But first, I started by talking to John Stokes, Director of Trees, Science and Research at the Tree Council.
So I'm John Stokes, I'm Director of Tree Science and Research for the Tree Council, and we are here today to plant a community golden orchard, which is part of our 50th anniversary, but it's also about giving a community the opportunity to plant some golden fruit. So each one of the trees has either gold fruit or a golden connection, and that's part of us being 50, but it's also part of 50 communities around the country planting one of these lovely fruit orchards.
What about the way that it takes? I mean, you've planted these trees, or we've planted these trees here today. It's going to take 3 years before the first fruit come. How do you find people react to that, having to wait, but also seeing a little bit of progress every day?
I think that's part of the joy of it. I think you do, and you don't. Suddenly it changes over 3 or 5 years. You don't notice that change as such. But when you suddenly look at it, you'll see, wow, it has changed. It has, and that's part of the joy as well. Time, space, and I work on 100 years, 200,000 year timescales. So I'm planting for what might be in 1,000 years. So that's a very positive thing to do.
We're here in the tea garden at Lancaster West, and I'm joined by Lisa Wilkinson. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, nice to meet you.
And Robert Perino.
Good afternoon, Piers.
Lisa, you work with the council on community gardening. Could you tell us what the council's been doing in that area?
So the council started an initiative about 2008 as part of the North Kensington Environment Project, where we looked at disused spaces such as forgotten corners and an old tennis courts, and we instituted raised beds and put in kitchen gardens. And these kitchen gardens are applicable to any resident who wants to apply for one. It's completely free of charge for them. And it's a rolling contract they do with us on a yearly basis. They have to sign up every year. But as long as they're gardening, they're enjoying it, they can stay with us as long as they want. We're here to really facilitate. We'll guide. We offer lessons how to grow. We try to improve the spaces as well. As long as we've got passionate residents, and we can look at putting in ponds if it's viable. We put in garden sheds. There's always shared tools for everybody. So if you live at the top of a tower block, you've never gardened in your life, and you don't want to drag gardening tools around, you can still come and be a gardener. They are community chores to use and a lot of people to meet and come along and have a good time. And we built it up from initial 10 sites back in 2009, 2010 to over 55 growing spaces.
So they work like allotments, really?
Yeah, they're mini allotments. So you don't get... an allotment is a protected size of growing. There are no allotments in Kensington and Chelsea, and it is a statutory duty to provide food growing spaces, which is how we managed to get in kind of slightly under the grey area, find these spaces and put in what we call allotments. So they're small plots, about 2 metres 20 by 1 metre 10. And, you know, if, as long as you grow and you think about what you're growing and you plan it well, you can really get a lot of produce back over the course of a year.
Robert, you work here, right here in the tea garden, yeah. And you run some volunteering groups,
yes,
here, and
I mean,
you've started growing more and more food, haven't you?
I have started growing more and more food. As I say, Lisa has a sort of her empire stretches further. I, as you know me, I've had a strange life, and so I've sort of become, I have landed here in Lankwest, where I've had a flat since 96. Yeah, food growing. You know, I've learnt that herbs are popular here because they're easy. I've had a bigger problem. It's an estate, you know, things like potato. I've kind of sometimes grown stuff and then no one's going to eat it, so it's going to waste. So herbs is definitely much easier, if you agree with me. So all the salvias and the rosemaries and so forth. Yeah, food growing around the estate, it's still, you know, not easy to convince people. So to convince people that it's fine to eat has been a slight struggle. But we're going to now continue to encourage people to grow their own food growing all around the estate and all around the borough. It's not, you know, people, you know, are just so used to. I see people come back with rosemary. There's loads growing here. Yeah, there's a lot of, you agree with me, there's, yeah, a lot of talking. It's not always easy, is it?
The thing with food growing is that we are probably 10 generations away from our parents, grandparents who have grown. So it's not a natural thing. We spend our life telling our children anything coming out of the ground is dirty and filthy and don't touch it. Wash your hands the whole time. So when you want to pull out a carrot from the soil and give it to a child to eat, it can be quite a challenging moment for a child because they've seen them coming out of plastic bags out of supermarkets. I will say that we only ever grow in raised beds that we construct and put fresh soil in. It can get very, people can get very scared about things, but if you're in a raised bed or in a tub with fresh soil, then there's nothing wrong. Potatoes, grow them in bags.
Yeah, you can grow them on balconies.
Mm. Absolutely fantastic crop.
Yeah, we have
to grow.
It's just a question of then, can you please come and get it? And there's a certain, you're right, apathy and so forth. We've also got a project called, we raise some money, Click and Grow, with Smart Gardens, the indoor smart garden. They're a long way from being really on it, but they are showing the way in the future, and the future is smart gardens, vertical gardening, you know, that you can grow indoors.
Joe, tell us what's going on here today.
Well, what's going on is we're planting an orchard, and if looked after, within 3 years we could get some nice apples. And apart from apples, there's also like plum trees and all.
What kind of things, you're planting some trees now, some fruit trees, but what kind of things have been planted during the various sessions?
Vegetables, cucumbers, radishes, carrots, onions, not from seed but from sets, tomatoes last Saturday, and also marigolds. And if they do well amongst the vegetables, we can plant them in between as companion planting to deter the slugs.
So do you think it's good for a sense of community, way there's all this garden volunteering?
Yes. And especially if people have had breakdowns or trying to get back into work and take an interest in gardening and horticulture. Community horticulture and gardening is the best form of gardening because if you're working with people and they're prepared to show you, and if there's a good supervisor, how to do seeds, and also if they do well, how to lift them and pot them up. I mean, you don't get that, you know, if you're working with a private firm.
Quite right. And last question, what do you personally take from gardening?
Sowing something or planting something, and if it does well, have achievement and say, yes, I had something to do with that. But mostly gardening is sort of like plain common sense, and you can use your own instinct and all. And if you've got skills and experience to go with it, better still, blend them in all together.
Robert, you've just, well, I was here actually this afternoon. We planted 5 fruit trees, for instance, in the secret garden, which is at the other end of this part of the estate. Are people finding it easier to cope with the idea of picking fruit, which has come from the tree, and is that one step removed from the soil?
We need to convince everybody that it's absolutely fine to forage in the city.
So we run schools programs. So a lot of the primary schools and a couple of the secondary schools do have food growing programs. And there's very few subjects that you can't talk and that you can't relate back to food growing. So the schools are obviously becoming more aware of it. And with climate change and having to teach about all sorts of things, food growing is becoming more important. So we provide for Hammersmith Garden Association to come in and deliver our food growing. So hopefully the children are then going home to their parents and saying, oh, we've got a kitchen garden on our estate. Why haven't you got one of the plots, mum, dad, auntie? So there's a huge benefit socially, not just for the health benefit of growing and being part of it, but also the community aspect of it and ownership of your space and taking pride in the environment that you live in. And we find that happens a lot through fruit growing.
They say sitting down is the new smoking. And I do have a problem with the office. You know, some of them, bless them, have never even been out here. I mean, people now just spend so much time on computers, smartphones, and so forth. I mean, I've noticed, I've been on the station in 96, and I remember in the 90s, and a lot of kids outdoors. I'm from a generation where my mother would say, Robert, come in, I'm out. You know, we play football. You know, now they're not coming out. Some, and post-COVID, I was a bit nervous when I started. What am I doing? I was in the deep, I don't know what I'm doing. There were a lot more volunteers. Post-COVID, we still haven't got back here somehow. I don't know if it's Grenfell or whatever, but a lot of the young generation now, 4 o'clock, go in on the computer. Am I right? I mean,
I think definitely there's a huge change in the sort of general feeling of humanity, of human beings, where they're going. And you're quite right that people don't live outside anymore. But yes, so this generation, they don't. They're more comfortable with the Netflix. People tend to now, I see a lot of this, where they order their food online to be delivered. So they're getting even further away from real food.
Do you know who literally do not go out at all? I mean, do you think, I don't want to veer off gardening, but do you think a lot of it is the media?
How many times do you pick up a newspaper? You read newspapers, you look at the internet, look at anything, and it's got good news. It doesn't talk about young people suddenly getting the gardening bug and driving forward or setting up a new business or being really powerful within their community. Where do you hear, where's that news?
Well, you hear about it on Portobello Radio.
I think that gardening should be compulsory at school to an extent. At some level, it should be compulsory to grow your own food, that it becomes natural.
Guys, can I ask you your name first?
My name is Stella.
Hi, Stella.
Hi.
Rihanna.
Hi, Rihanna. Guys, could you tell us what we're doing here?
Trying to plant a tree. It's the orchard tree.
So, yeah.
Yes, hopefully in 10, 15 years, we can come back. When she's my age, she can come back and look at it. Because she's 16. In 10 years' time, she'll be 26 like me. Why are you not saying anything? You don't believe me?
Do you volunteer often here in the Lank West Gardens?
Never. This is the first time. This is the first time I'm even gardening and planting a tree. Can you imagine? The first time I'm gardening, I'm planting a tree for life.
So how's it feel?
Using a lot of muscles. But, you know, it's rewarding, isn't it, Rihanna? We're doing something for the community.
Get oxygen. Get a lot of oxygen with trees, so it's good.
You know, it's good for the environment, like you said, oxygen. We know that in 10, 15 years' time, still going to be here. We might not be, but this tree will be here. And hopefully other kids will use it, isn't it? They'll come, they'll look at it. And we're doing something good for here and for the environment.
Rihanna, what do you think about planting? Do you come and do much gardening here?
Well, no, I do some gardening at school. And I like doing gardening. Sometimes I wish I could do it more. But at home, I have a lot of plants. So it feels like I'm doing something for my planet. It helps me a lot, with my feelings, and seeing green helps a lot with calmness and a lot of things.
Fantastic. And what are your hopes for this tree? What do you hope to see in, say, 5 years' time?
I hope to see, like, a lot more green trees, like plants, and also people, like young children, planting more trees.
Great. Well, thank you very much, guys. I hope the tree is bountiful in 3 or 4 years' time. There are advantages, aren't there, to gardening beyond the fact that you may have got yourself a source of mint that means you don't have to go out and buy it. There are mindfulness and well-being advantages.
So there's lots of research done for the last 20, 30 years about the benefits of gardening. Mindfulness, absolutely. Spend time in a space outside. Just sit. You can see we're all sat here in this green space, looking around what was a very sort of brutalist brick empty space is now full of greenery and growth, and you're starting to hear the birds coming, and just taking the time to sit here, pick up a herb, smell it, sniff it, and it just brings you down. It brings your heart rate down.
It's true.
And then actual gardening, there's microbes in the soil that mimic antidepressants. So you absorb them through your skin. So by having your hands in soil, you're absorbing these things, so you don't need drugs. And they're, you know, very rare to find a grumpy gardener unless somebody's stomped all over their green patch. But most gardeners are quite happy. Take the time to step back. What do you need to do so quickly that your phone is more important and that, you know, you're rushing too? Leave 5 minutes earlier.
Hi there. Can I ask what your name is?
My name is Anissa.
And Anissa, do you volunteer in the garden often?
Yeah, I volunteer every Monday and Tuesday.
And what brings you out to the garden?
Recently, I've just grown a love for gardening, and I think it started with my dad because he started growing tomatoes and cucumbers, and I was like, how cool, a seed can actually give you fruit, and we throw seeds every day. So at home I've been saving seeds, and yeah, I just don't want to throw it. I'm like, I'm throwing away fruit. So, and then when I come here I can actually learn a bit about growing and how it's done and everything. So that's literally how it started.
And what do you think the benefits are in gardening in terms of your well-being?
I think it is very calming, because I'm quite young, I don't know what I want to do. And then gardening, I can just not think about nothing and just look at a lovely plant. And then even just watch it grow, like these little bits that turn green. I'm like, that's a baby, it's coming out, it's going to turn into something. So yeah.
And what do you think about the community that does gardening? I mean, you're part of a group every Monday here.
Yeah.
What about the social benefits?
No, it is good because you get to meet different people that you wouldn't meet in everyday life, and then you learn about stuff. And you can teach each other things, because I don't know a lot, but I've been learning.
You're planting a tree, part of the Golden Orchard that the Tree Council has donated here at Lank West. What are your hopes for the tree that you're planting? What kind of tree is it?
It's an apricot tree, and hopefully in 3 years it will give us some fruit and everyone can benefit from the fruit.
Robert, you run a number of groups.
Monday,
what kind of people come down?
All sorts of people. I mean, myself came after a big relationship breakdown and I was a bit lost what to do. And I thought I didn't want to go back to old behaviours, and just coming out every day. And it's also, it's my only skill is I show up. I mean, you can build a garden, but if you don't maintain, it's like giving birth. Well done, Robert, you've given birth to a child. But if you don't look after it and nurture it, it's the invisible work. It's the, you know, got to come tomorrow, you've got to do this. A lot of it is, a lot of time you're tidying up, aren't you?
Weeding.
You know, weeding, it's constant. But it suits someone like me with a slight neurodiversity and all these modern words they throw out, right? Because it takes up, there's a lot to do, and I've got too much energy, and so it brings me down. And just being outdoors, you're right, just being outdoors. And I encourage anyone, you know, I'm 67, I'm pretty fit, and it's because of gardening. It takes you away from your own head. We live in our heads, don't we? We live in our heads. And so someone like me, and I live totally in my head, and by gardening takes you out of your head into your body.
I think you find also that it's very easy to talk to somebody in a garden. It's a very non-threatening space. Yeah. So you might not naturally meet somebody, if you're walking down the street, or you're doing, your kids go to different school, or you're a different age range, or you have different interests. The moment you're in the garden, oh my goodness, you're sharing tips, you're having cups of tea with people, you're doing all sorts of things. I can tell you a lovely, lovely story about one of the gardens we put in at the bottom of a tower block. And they were a bit anti it. They said, oh, we've got this green space, it's very pristine and very denuded of anything, but it's just a patch of green. And we said, no, please, you know, try the food growing. Oh, you know, no one's going to like it. Anyway, we got it very, very successful. And then we had realised that in these tower blocks, the lifts go to alternate floors. So you never know the neighbour above you or below you. Suddenly, people are meeting in the garden. They've been living in the same block for 35 years. They've never seen each other. They've never met each other. And suddenly, they've made a friendship, and that's through the growing spaces.
Yeah, my name's Gerard Breen. We're here to see orchard trees being planted. Yeah, it's been a nice afternoon meeting up with a new group.
Tell us a little bit about your experience with the community gardening and volunteering. Are you a regular?
Well, no, I actually began volunteering on a Wednesday with the wellbeing group takes us around the garden and gets us to learn new stuff about planting, and then I sort of got interested in probably finding out more about the gardening group, and so I'm hoping to join on a Monday and learn, and hopefully in the future be able to be more experienced in the gardening and be able to show other people.
What do you get yourself personally out of volunteering in the garden?
Well, at the moment, because I've actually sort of learning to, you know, because of due to anxiety issues and I think it's been good to just to get out and be around people and sort of a mix, so to help my own health issues at the moment, and because it's good to be outdoors and around gardening and be around people.
And is there anything particular that you've planted anywhere around here that you've got a soft spot for?
Well, I'm just today, you know, coming along today and learning about how to plant a tree, you know, and hopefully within 2 years, I'm sure if I'm still, you know, volunteering, I should see those fruit being grown, and hopefully people enjoying, you know, eating what I've actually planted, you know, two years previously.
There's more we can do. And what's your feeling? Because you're more in touch. Are the government really supporting?
Or could they do more? Kensington and Chelsea are very supportive of it. We're always looking for new spaces to put in. We're always looking for new ways to improve things. You know, we've got, it's not necessarily under my department, but they work with parks, the sud scheme. So at the bottom of St Helens Gardens, we've had some suds gone in. The new planting up at Chelsea Green has gone in through the parks. So we're all looking to work with each other to see where we can add extras for the B superhighways, for the community to go and expand, you know, street planters. But when we put them in, we can't maintain every space. So we do definitely need the residents to be engaged and to volunteer. We can put in as many street planters as you like, but how they're going to get watered, how they're going to get looked after. So that's what we have to encourage people to want to take ownership. That's what I would like everyone to adopt, a street planter. So if any residents listening want a street planter and they're going to sign up and absolutely agree to look after it, please contact us.
Yes, funny, that's what I wanted to ask next, because you've enumerated very clearly what the benefits of gardening are, whether you want to grow your own food, whether you just want to get out of the house, whether you want to meet new people, whether you just want to spend some time on your own in a nice calm place. How do people get involved, either here in Nottingdale or other parts of the borough?
So for me, we're borough wide, so we have few places in South Kensington because of the density of buildings there. So the majority of our spaces are in North Kensington, and we sort of go along the passageway, and then we have quite a few towards Chelsea. They just need to either email community.gardeners@rbkc.gov.uk, or they can go onto the council website and look for the environment project or the community gardeners, and then they can make an application. Because, you know, also if they don't want to garden but they want to know more about growing and green spaces, the ecology service offers amazing walks. If you want to learn about bats and moths and butterflies and different things, the ecology service delivers a lot of free walks. Some of them you have to pay for, some of them are free. It depends on what they're doing. So there's lots of ways of getting in. So go to the website. As much as I don't want technology to take over everything, it is the only way that we can provide you the information.
You can't escape the beast. Yeah, well, I'm going a walk tomorrow morning, Avondale Park. So I think walking, all good ideas come from walking in nature.
But if people want to start a bit of gardening, whether it's food gardening or it's just something to brighten up their life, how do you start? What's the first thing you should be looking at?
Well, you just saw two young people here, and they were here and they were picking some bits and pieces. I kind of introduced them to the garden in my way, and then I go, right, if I fall down dead, what are you going to do? Get on, you got to look after it. You know, I mean, I dived in the deep end, so I'm a little bit of a dive in the deep end. But then you find out, for instance, Anissa, the young girl, is obsessed by, you know, the herbs and how can she grow. So I click that. So I say, it's a relief. Yes, look after the herbs. Or somebody else, really, I just want to do flowers. So you find out where they go. Do you agree? So you kind of, they and if they go, I want to look after that bit, I said, great, that's one less thing for me. So they kind of gravitate towards, well, okay, Piers, you've come to, you're going to be volunteering here, let's say. What's your passion? What do you like, trees? What would you like?
I must say, the thing I really remember as a young kid is you were always encouraged to grow radishes.
Yes, very quick.
Radishes,
quick, easy
they come
win.
Up. They come up very quickly.
So you quickly
and as a result, you can react something and you see the cycle of life little bit sped
so,
up.
So do you remember mustard and cress practice?
Yeah.
Everybody, you can grow it on wet napkin or on a potato.
They
head.
Want a quick result.
And
yeah.
That is a very fast, swift thing. If you want to start, if you've never, ever grown anything before, you have to look around what space you've got. So if you've got a balcony, if you're 30 stories up, you have to think about the wind possibilities and things like that. Or you've got a really nice window ledge, or you've got a small patio. So think about that space. Then find a pot and think, what do I want to grow? Maybe just start off with something very simple like sunflowers. Very quick, easy things to grow. And again, absolutely amazing. Can teach maths, can teach the Fibonacci scale from a sunflower.
Wow.
But they're also really good for wildlife. Birds really like them.
Lucy, tell us, what are you doing right now?
Getting the tree in the ground. That was a bit of hard work, actually. We found lots of rocks and roots, but it's good. We are actually putting the soil in and making sure it's standing up straight.
Are you a natural gardener? Do you do a lot of it?
I don't have an outside space, but we have a communal garden. So in my flat, I have an indoor jungle, but maybe only a few years old, because before that, I killed everything. So I've learned over time. And found some more hardy plants. And now my whole living room is covered in green.
What do you think of the well-being benefits? Oh, look, a worm. What do you think?
You can see worms. That's a good well-being benefit.
Yeah, don't let the birds see. What are the well-being benefits of gardening, and particularly community gardening?
I think for me, we do sort of longevity as well. So it shows care over a long period of time. It's not just you buy something and then you put it in a corner. Like, you have to kind of take care of things. And so that's made me take care of myself as well. So like that kind of putting in time, water, thinking, oh, blimey, that looks a bit dodgy. Not sure what's going on there. Definitely makes me think about myself as well. And it also, I think for my well-being, it's good taking care of other things and you see a benefit, whereas you might not always with yourself for a while.
Kids actually really enjoy it once they start gardening, yeah. Don't they?
I think it's just a natural thing, isn't it? You get a bit dirty, it feels a bit freeing, and you can see the results. I used to love gardening. My mum had a garden like where we grew up, so it's just me moving into a flat that means that I don't. So she was always gardening. And it's a good group thing. You know, you're all working hard together.
I think it teaches you many, many life skills, gardening. I think you find it teaches you patience. It teaches you how to deal with things when they don't work. You can have, as it doesn't matter how good a gardener you are, you will have failures. So rather than getting absolutely uptight and throwing your secateurs out with the bathwater, you just get in and start all over again. So you learn patience, you learn how to deal with upset, you learn how to deal with problems in a logical way. And I think it's quite calming. And I think they're life skills that go across.
You're right.
Far outreaching gardening.
Now, you go to the opera and you think, I'll never be able to do that. And so what's sometimes intimidating to some people is, oh my goodness, I've got to know all the names in Latin.
No, you know? Absolutely not.
And I heard even Monty Don, when they do the programmes, they prompt them sometimes. Because is it possible to know everything in Latin, isn't it? Like Carl Linnaeus, you know?
The whole thing is, why are you going to put a barrier up with somebody? You know, it's like Shakespeare. The moment you say Shakespeare, people are terrified. But actually, Shakespeare was a lad from Brummie, and he's written some of the best stories ever. Yeah. So gardening is like that. You don't need a Latin name. Why shall I spout off all the Latin names just to make myself
But there is clever? That certain barrier with certain people who are intimidated because they think, oh, my goodness, I need to do a degree in it. And you don't. You turn up, water it, plant it, regularity.
It needs time.
Every 2 months.
Yeah, no. You need. We have ground rules that people have to sign, mostly because we have to manage the spaces, and we've got waiting lists, so we are answerable to the residents if their spaces are not being used. But the first thing is, we reckon a minimum of 2 hours a week to come along and look after a plot the size that I was talking about. But it doesn't mean that's the only amount of time you can spend in the garden. You can come there 3 hours a day. Every day, it's completely up to you, but you do need to come on a regular basis because you will need to weed, you will need to cut back.
Regularity, but it's been a great journey, and I really think it's great that Portobello Radio are talking about it. But don't just talk the talk, walk the walk.
Walk the walk. Well, I was delighted. I picked up two cucumber plants and a strawberry plant when I was at the leisure centre on Saturday. And I'm looking after them probably better than I looked after my children.
What sort of cucumbers are they?
I've got no idea. I'll wait and see. That's the other excitement.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because there's a lovely variety called Burpless.
Oh.
Burpless.
So there's a lot of fun that can be had, especially with plant names.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Robert. Thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Thank you also for the work you do around the community, helping people to grow food, to gain mindfulness, and to learn a few life skills in the process. Thanks for listening, and we'd love to hear what you think about the issues we've discussed today. DM Portobello Radio on Facebook, Instagram, or X, or send us a message via WhatsApp to 07822 002955. You can discover more about the community gardens by looking at the council website rbkc.gov.uk and searching community gardens, where you'll find all the ways to get involved. There is also more information and links on the page where you found this podcast. My name is Piers Thompson. This is Portobello Radio, your local community radio station. And this series has been supported by the Mayor of London.